And all the people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Greater things. Just imagine that everything we dream about, all the things that we'd love to see in this city, all the healing and the restoration and the beauty that would come from ashes, that all of those things are the same dream and the same vision that God has for Red Deer, for Central Alberta, for his world, but that his dreams are even greater than that. You know, he wants so much more than what we can even imagine. And the Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want to lose anybody. He's a kind of shepherd that goes and he seeks after every sheep that's lost. And it's all about his love. It's that we sang about that unrelenting love of God. He won't give up. I will not relent. I won't relent. Right? I won't relent. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to call you. And he just keeps doing that. He's doing that in all of our lives. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. Some of us have yet to make that decision. But God's calling. He's calling through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He's calling through the power of the cross. And that cross compels us to come. It draws us to himself. He says, I love you, just like what you read, Ted. I love you, and I want to make the way for you. A way that is going to be a way of righteousness. A way that is going to be a way that draws you to me. God loves you. And you need to hear that today. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his son. And God is here today. God's in this place, and we're worshiping him. We worship him because, yeah, amen. He's the only one worthy of our praise. He's the only one. He's the only God. He is the only one who is sovereign. He's the only one who's the creator. He's the only one who saved us. He's the only one who deserves our praise. And we did that, and we're going to continue to do that. And we don't all do that the same way, and that's all right. There's freedom. If we're going to really sing that there's freedom in this place, that means that there's freedom for us to worship in different ways. Freedom to do things and sometimes freedom not to do things. But that we give, or that God gives us freedom to just open our hearts and to worship him and just declare that today, that God is worthy of our praise, that there's no one like him. And just pray with me. Father God, thank you that you're here and pray that you'll have your way. We are yours. We belong to you because of the blood of Jesus. Bind us to your heart this morning. Help us to praise you with an undying love and an undying praise. And speak, God. Just speak. Encourage us. We need to be encouraged. You're the God of this city. You've put us in this city for a very special reason. You've put us here to shine light. You've put us here to deal with people and to encourage people and to love people who are struggling and hurting because of addictions, homeless, poor. God, I pray that you'll continue to empower and enable us to do the work of building your kingdom, the kingdom of our Christ, and the kingdom of our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, glad to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, David said. I agree with David. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that Carl and Elsie are here. I know there's been some sickness. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. May God you guys just reach out to them. We're going to pray. Just reach out. God, I pray for these very dear, important members of our church who struggle with health sometimes. And Lord, we just reach out our hands and we pray over them and ask for healing. I pray, God, for Elsie that you'll continue to give her stability and strength. And Lord, that they'll know that we love them so much and that you love them even more. Just bless them today. Thank you for the privilege of being able to worship with them. Thank you for the leadership that they've shown. And God, I just ask today that your hand of blessing will be on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. And there's a bunch of stuff that's just crossing my mind here, but I know we got to remember pretty soon Ken and Frida. You need to know this, that in a few weeks, Ken and Frida are heading off to Costa Rica again. How many weeks? When are you guys leaving? 5 more weeks. Okay, that's good. We need some weeks to pray about this and to get ready for it. This time, they're not just going for a little while. They're going for a year, right? For a year. As a leadership of this church, we have agreed to support them $1,000 a month because they need that, and they are missionaries that we are sending out from here. And I encourage you, to encourage them. Encourage them. Build them up. Pray for them. Pray for them, right? even before they leave, pray for them. If you want to give financially, that's awesome. Do it. Just write on your check or in your envelope. It doesn't matter. That way we know it's coming. Okay, don't do that. What am I supposed to tell them?
Not on the check.
Not on the check. Don't write on the check. Write on the envelope. I'm still learning. It doesn't matter. God knows. But write on the envelope because Mary needs to know. So this is a gift that's given for this mission to Costa Rica. Okay? Praise God. Tola is going to... Is he here? There he is. You're going to do a drama. Right, brother? What's that? Whatever. Okay. You're on.
Praise God. Christian, oh yes, my name is Christian. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people that has been chosen by God, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has beautified me with his righteousness. He has given me the crown of salvation. For by his grace are we saved, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He gave me his word to study and show myself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, Christian, I am a Christian. He gave me his shoes, the sandal of preaching the gospel, to go into the world and preach his gospel, and whosoever believes shall be saved. Hallelujah. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be healed, for by his stripes ye are healed. Set your affection on him, for lust of flesh. Who would have put this on the way to heaven? I am on my way to heaven, and this beautiful Lord is on the way to heaven. I wonder what is inside it. The lust of flesh. Did you just call me God? I am going to heaven, Lord. I just want to see what is in this package of lust of flesh. I will continue the journey. I promise you, I will go on the journey. But let me see what is in this package. Adultery. That is wonderful. Adultery is good. Backbiting. Oh my God. I can backbite? That is good. Addiction. These are beautiful stuff. Are you calling me God? God, let me, I'm busy with this, Lord. You can send somebody else to heaven. I'm still on my way, I promise. I'm still on my way. Choose Pastor Stanley. He's very good. He's a man of God. He can do it too. I must not leave this behind. I must go with this. I must take this with me to heaven. Why is this so heavy? Gosh, why is this so... Oh. Lust of eyes? Why hast thou blessed me with so many things, oh God? Lust of eyes. Wow. I wonder what is inside this one. The lust of eyes. This is wonderful. A beautiful mansion. Jewelries and gold, silver. This is great. Oh, money, millions, contracts. Did just God call me now? Did you call me, Lord? I am busy. Send somebody else. I'm going to heaven. I will make heaven. But I just don't want to leave this behind. This is beautiful. I must have it all. I must have it all, Lord. Heaven, heaven. Ah, why is this so heavy? Heaven. The pride of life again? Oh, God, it's so good. This is the righteousness. The righteousness can wait. I need this pride of life. Examination. Contract. Good business. This is... Heaven. What am I doing? This thing has hindered my life enough. I've been focusing on this for too long. Well, I need to have it all. Ah! I'm on my way to heaven. Ah! I need to go to heaven. Ah, I will get to heaven. Ah, oh no, this is impossible. This is too heavy. I can't do it. Oh God, I need your help. I need your help, oh God. Save me from the lust of eyes. Save me, oh God, from the lust of flesh. And save me, Lord, from the pride of life. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. I am delivered. God is so good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I must run the race. I must run the race of him who has called me. I must set my affections on things above and not on things beneath. He has chosen me. Oh, he has blessed me. He has blessed me with all the fruit of the Spirit. Heaven. Oh, heaven, be free from sin. Be free from sin. Every weight that easily besets you, set yourself loose. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God is coming very soon. He's coming for you. Will you be ready? Will you be ready by the time the Lord shall come? Will you be ready? Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you're ready? He's coming very soon. He's coming very soon. Be ready in Jesus' name. Oh, God, help me.
Get it? Wow. Tola called me this week and he said, I had this really weird dream, and this was kind of what the dream was. And he said, would it be okay if I acted out? And I said, yeah. So be careful what you dream, because you might be up here.
Done.
So maybe someone just tell him that his mic is still on. You want to tell him his mic is still on? And thank you, God. Thank you for drama. There's different ways that God can communicate and that his spirit connects with our hearts, right? There's different ways his spirit connects with our hearts. And every one of us can relate to this. We know that we've gone through life. We pick up stuff along the way we shouldn't be picking up. We still pick it up. And it looks so enticing. It looks so delicious. And it's so deadly. Amen? It's so deadly in our lives. And we carry it around like it's a gift from God when it's not a gift from God. It's just weight and it's just a burden. Thank you, God. Shade, would you get the little box for me from Tola? It's a little red, little black box that I need for my microphone. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for just a good reminder today that you're the God who saves us, and you robe us, you clothe us with a robe of righteousness, and that salvation is completely from you. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus saves. And especially this time of the year, we think about the cross and think about what a great gift you've given us. You gave your life. You suffered and you died. You took every bit of sin from all of us, and you've removed it, and you've declared us to be pure and holy in your sight. And all we can say is thank you, God. Thank you for your grace, for it's by grace that you are saved, by faith. And even that is a gift of God. We just bless your name. Lord, we want to open your word today, and we want to hear from you. And I thank you that your word is always clear, and it's sharp, and it cuts sometimes, but it's exactly what we need. So we focus on your word and just pray that you would speak and encourage us today. We're here to worship our King. We're here to celebrate not only your death, but your resurrection, that you are alive. And today we experience that life in this place. We are alive. We are breathing in your spirit. We are alive in Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. So live in me, God. Live in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
By the way, thank you, Cole. Thank God. On Friday, and this is a little bit late notice, but we are going to have a Good Friday service. I invite you to come. We'll have the Lord's Supper together. We will eat and drink. We're going to remember what Jesus did at the cross. And we're going to sing songs of the cross, some of the old hymns. Just spend some time worshiping God, singing those songs, and enjoying the good news that he shed his blood for us. So I invite you to come. It will be the same time as our morning service always is, a little after 10 o'clock. Hope you come. Today we're going to read the story, start by reading the story of Palm Sunday, because this is what today is. It's Palm Sunday, and I'm going to read from Mark chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Just take a minute and look that up. Mark 11, verse 1. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden.
untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. So they went and found a colt outside in the street, and it was tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who had followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, and he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. We can just stop at that point. Excuse me. You know, sometimes, not often, sometimes it seems like, you know, you get a day or you get a period of time where everything seems to go right. Everything is good. You get this feeling where you could just take on the world. And, you know, think about my marriage, the day when we got married. It was just a great day. And I remember just driving away from the church as Crystal and I left almost 35 years ago. And that was a great feeling. It was just like, man, this is on top of the world. Or I remember when my children were born, I think especially my oldest, and because it was the first one, you know, he was born and in my arms. And, you know, if you remember that feeling, you remember what it was like to have that little baby in your family and in your life. And the feeling of peace and wholeness and joy and going, this is a good day. This is such a good day. Everything about this was great. We get that sometimes. We get those days where everything is wonderful and all you have in your heart is praise for God. And that's kind of what was happening on this Sunday called Palm Sunday. Everything was good. The people were excited. We're told that all of Jerusalem was stirred up because they were filled with praise. Hosanna to the king. You know, Hosanna to the kingdom of our king. And there was praise and there was worship and people were clapping each other on the back and they were grabbing palm trees and they were waving it and they were asking themselves the question, do you think that could this be the Messiah? Could this really be the Christ? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? And they took their coats off and their cloaks and they threw it on the ground and they treated him like a king. And they praised him and they sang, Hosanna! This is a great day! Right? What a wonderful day. The only problem is that a few days later, these same people were the very same people who were crying out, crucify him. Crucify him. And that's what happens. That the very good and the joyful and the celebration that sometimes in our lives that only lasts for a little while. And really I want to just start with that question today is, so what happens in your life? What happens in your life when the new car smell wears off? Right? What happens in your life when things aren't going quite as good as they were? What happens when the test that you are undergoing, the trial that you are enduring, when that trial becomes more and more difficult, how do you react? And how does that change from where you were when you were praising God and giving him glory and everything is wonderful? What happens when that happens in your life that things start breaking and you still need to trust God? Because you know what? The testing around us and the trials in our lives aren't, you know, they're the hard things. They're the hard things. It's one thing to say thank you, Lord, when you've got a food full of fridge. Did you just say that? Yeah. It's one thing to really thank God when you got a fridge full of food and you got money in the bank. It's harder to thank God when you can't even feed your own kids. How do you say thank you then? And it's easy to thank God when you're going on your honeymoon. It's harder when it's honey gone. Right? It's It's one thing to praise God when you're healthy and strong and you feel that everything is going well in your life and you got no sickness. It's a harder thing to do when you're pushing around a walker. It's harder when you're sick and when you're stricken with something that is hard to overcome. You know what I'm saying? Is that the testing is the testing of our faith, right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the hard things that we've gone through in our lives, they've been in our lives to draw us closer to God. And that God uses those things. He doesn't cause those things, but he uses those things in our lives to draw us near to him. All the hard things you've been going through. Think about your sister and all the hard stuff. But you're here today, right? You were here last week. Teresa, you're still seeking God, right? And what does God do is he draws us to himself and he says, you are mine and I have you endure some of these hard things in life because I want you to draw closer to me. And I want you to put your trust in me. And it's almost always, the test in my life is almost always about two things. And maybe it's other things for you. But it's either about trust or it's about grace for me. God's words are always about, are you going to trust me when I'm going through a hard thing, or I can't solve a problem, or when everything seems to be falling apart all around me, then it's God always seems to be saying to me, well, are you going to trust me? Will you trust me in this? Or it's about grace. And generally, that's about when I'm dealing with other people, and someone has hurt me, or has sinned against me, or has spoken ill against me, and that God says to me, yeah, but what about grace? What about my grace? What about how I forgive you? Are you going to show that grace to that person? Or are you going to just hold that grudge like we talked about last week? So it's usually about trust or it's about grace. And if we're honest with each other here today, and actually, if we look at God's word today, we'll find and we'll agree that a lot of times when the going gets tough, we bail. I mean, if we're really honest, a lot of times when things get really hard and when the test is just such a hard test, we pull the pin, like we talked about last week. And we say, well, I'm just going to do something different then. I'm not going to stick with you, God. And it's very interesting, the drama we just saw, because Tola had no idea what I was going to talk about. But what you just saw is exactly that. He pulled the pin. He started to drop the things that God had given him, the righteousness of Christ, his salvation, the word of God. He just set it aside. We do that. And if we look at the story of Jesus on the cross and Jesus going to the cross, let me just give you a couple of examples from Matthew, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Things got tough. The disciples had to stand up for their faith, and that was really hard to do. There were real live guards there, centurions and soldiers, and they had real hard and sharp swords in their hands. It's hard to stand up against that. We're told in, I'm reading from Matthew here, that in Matthew chapter 26, it says here that Jesus said, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in a temple courts teaching. You did not arrest me, but this has taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. And now listen, and then all the disciples deserted him and fled. You know what they did? They pulled the pin. We're out of here. It must have kind of crossed their mind. If we leave right now, if I run fast, I think I can outrun these guys who are dressed in armor and carrying a sword. So, you know, all of a sudden, Jesus said these words, and I think I don't even know if they looked at each other, but one of them took off, scrambling down the hill, and the other guys went, you know, that's not a bad idea. I'm out of here too. They all deserted him, and they fled. They pulled the pin. Later on, Peter, I'm just going to give you a couple quick examples. Peter is standing around the fire, and this is the third time that someone has said to him, Peter, you knew Jesus. You got that Galilean accent. I can tell who you are. And Peter said, he began to call down curses, Matthew says. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. And when he did that, he pulled a pin. And Judas, if you turn the page in Matthew 27, just read these words, Matthew 27, Judas throws the money back and they go, what's that to us? This is your responsibility. And listen to these words. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and he went away and he hanged himself. What was Judas doing? He was doing the ultimate. Pull the pin, right? I'm done. I'm done. And it's one of the sort of natural ways. I don't think it's natural. I don't think it's what we should be doing. But we bail. We quit. And every one of us knows people who have taken their own lives. And we've talked even a few weeks ago. There's people who came to the front. Because I said, if you're struggling with suicide, you come for prayer. It's one of the ways the enemy works in our lives. He says, why don't you just pull the pin? You know, why would you fight this fight? Why do you want to live? This living is not for you. Just end it. Just be done with it, right? Because of how the enemy works in our lives and because he's all about stealing and killing and destroying, he wants us just to pull that pin and to quit and to be done with it or even to take our own lives. But what Jesus said is that he came to give us life. That's going to be an abundant life. He came to set us free. And he died on the cross. This, all that it's about, everything we celebrate, the reason why we worship is because my Jesus is alive and he is my king. He is my king. He's my king. You can clap for that. He's my king. I want to, it's what he calls us to do, and here's the word today, he calls us to be faithful. He doesn't say, when things get tough, just bail out or do something else or get another job or go to a different church or get a different wife. He doesn't say that. What he says is, he says, I want you to stick with me. Stick with me. Love me. Be faithful to me. And that's a hard question to ask, but I'm asking it today. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the one who is ever faithful to you? Listen to these words in Mark 15. Sorry. Mark 15. I just want to read the story of Jesus on the cross. And at the sixth hour, and I'm reading from verse 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then some of those standing near heard this. They said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. And one man ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. And some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. I'm going to stop there. I'm dry today. Sorry about that. I'm going to now say, as we end here, I'm going to make a couple of general, sweeping comments that are real generalizations and some offensive, sexist comments, so you know what's coming at least. Okay? I'm kidding a little bit. What I want to talk about when I read this passage is that there's really a difference. I want you to think about this, that there's a difference between men and women. There really is. There's a major difference between men and women, and some of those differences are obvious. But what I want to suggest from what the word says here is that I think a lot of times women end up being more faithful. I know there's some sweeping generalizations here, and some of you aren't going to agree with what I say, and that's okay. But in my opinion, women seem to be more faithful to the end of what's supposed to happen than a lot of men. Now, I know I'm going to be in trouble or I'm stepping on some toes here, but here's what it seems like, and I'm getting this from some of the scriptures too. You look at how the Bible portrays women in the scriptures, and even in around the cross, but we have the story of Moses and his mother nurturing and caring for her little baby and putting him in the river and making sure that he's safe. We have the story of Hannah and her son Samuel and her coming to the temple every year with a little coat for him and praying and seeing this to its completion. We have the story of Mary who ponders all these things in her heart. And I'm just saying today that I think that women are better at finishing the race than a lot of men. That a lot of men, a lot of us men, are good at starting things. We like the starting line. We like to squeal our tires, you know. We love the start of things. That women are better at the end of things. They're better at the finish line. They're better at nurturing and caring, and they're better at seeing where things are going to end up. And they're more interested in that than we are. Guys, a lot of times, bail. We're not as faithful. We'll start a project, or we'll get all excited about something, and then we'll drop it, and we'll try something else, or we'll get excited about another thing. And it just, from what I'm reading in the scriptures, a lot of times, it just seems like women are so much better at seeing the finish line and making sure that they get to that finish line. It's the end of the race that seems to matter, and they do that better than a lot of men who abandon and who turn their backs and who don't stick things out right to the end. And again, I know some of you don't need to agree with what I'm saying. Men pull the pin. Women are better at putting the pin back in again. Right? Women are better at saying things like, honey, you know, we got to make this work, and we're gonna we need to get this to the end. They see the potential in their children. They see the potential. And again, you don't need to agree with all of that. You don't, and it doesn't matter if you do, because one thing you need to agree with today, though, is because those are just my opinions, but is what this Bible passage says. And I want to just read the next verse that we didn't read, and hear this then, that when Jesus died, it says this: some women were watching from a distance, and among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. And then it says this, we didn't read this, but look at verse 41. And in Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Have you ever read that before? Have you ever thought of that before? Mark tells us that at Jesus' cross, that as he died, there were a group of women there. I don't know what happened to the men. That's the big question. What happened to the men? You know, the elephant in the room, the question, where is Joseph? Mary's all there, but where did Joseph go? We don't hear anything about Joseph. Maybe he died. But what about his brothers then? We know that Jesus had brothers. Where were his brothers? What we do know from this passage is that there was a group, including, or it said there are many, the Bible says. There were many women. I don't know what many means. Maybe that means just a dozen or two. Maybe there was 100. Maybe there were 100. Can you imagine if that was true? That there were 100 women who stuck together and who were at the cross and who were there with Jesus. We know where the men were, or at least where some of them were. They were either hanging from a rope, or they were running down the hill, or they were denying that they ever knew him. But the women were there. They were seeing this through to the end. And even though you may not agree, and maybe the sweeping generalizations, there's no truth to that at all, put that aside. Because this is still true. That at Jesus' death, there were women there, and the men were noticeably absent for whatever that reason was. And so what am I saying? You're saying, what are you saying? We all need to be more like women? Yes. If that means that we're faithful, if that means that we are going to stick this out to the end, if this means that I'm going to be with Jesus, no matter what that means, I am going to be at the cross with you, Jesus. And if that's what that means, then the answer is yes. We need to be maybe not like women, but like those women. Like those many women who stood by Jesus, and yeah, they were at a distance, but they were praying, and they were crying, and they were grieving, and they were journeying with Jesus as he was going to death. One thing that you can't argue with, you can argue with lots of things I preach about, but you can't argue about this, is that there are 13 million more women who go to church in the U.S. than men. And that in Canada, there are almost 25% more women who go to church than men. I'm glad for all the men we have. I think we're an anomaly to this. I think we're probably pretty close to 50-50. Thank God for faithful men. You can clap here.
You can clap because they need it. I've just kind of been tearing into them. So, you know, you can clap. Thank God for faithful men. But we need to be that kind of faithful people. 20 to 25% in Canada, more women go to church than men. And you know what? That's the good news. In other parts of the world, like in Mexico, in Asian countries, in some countries in Africa, the ratio is 9 to 1. 9 women go to church. 1 man goes to church. So do we need, what are we saying? What's God's word pointing out? You know, when God's word says this, when God says in Mark that all these women were standing at the cross, in a culture where they hardly ever even mentioned women, there's something to note here. When Jesus fed 5,000, we're told he fed 5,000 men. They didn't even count the women in those days. So when we're told that at the cross there were all of these women surrounding Jesus, we ought to go, yeah, that's where I need to be too. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. The real question is, are you there? Are you at the cross? Are you there where Jesus is? Do you want to be? Do you want to be where Jesus is? And you might say, yeah, but they weren't doing anything. Yeah, there were all these women. They were standing in a circle, but they were off in the distance. They weren't doing a thing. But that's just the point. You don't need to do anything. This isn't about the cross. You know, it isn't about what we do. It isn't about how we got together or how we get organized or how many Bible studies or how many prayer meetings we go to. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. Are you at the cross? Are you there with Jesus? None of this is about what you accomplish. It's all about what the Father has accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ. You get that? Every part of this is about what Jesus does. It's not about what you do or what I do. All that He asks of us, this is really the truth, all that He says of us is, be there. Will you be faithful? Will you show up? Will you just be? You don't need to do. Will you just be my daughter? Will you be my son? Will you? Thank you, Jesus. He died on a cross. And in so many ways, he was so all alone. His best friends had deserted him, and they abandoned him, and they denied him. His own father, he said, you know, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? His own father had to forsake him so that Jesus could bear the full weight of our sins. But the women were there. Many of them, they were there. They were there. And so was John, yes. Later on, we'll get to that. But you are right, so was John. We're told that in John. So it's just a simple question today. Are you there? Where are you? Where are you? Are you there? Are you at the cross? Are you with Jesus? You want to play that? Thank you. Amen. You say amen? There's one thing missing in that song. You know what it was? Were you there when God raised him from the dead? I don't know if they ran out of time, but they missed the most important part. And we're going to sing that now. And even though we don't know how to sing it, doesn't matter. We're going to sing it. So just sing it with me. Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Amen. Amen. You want to just put the lights on for me there? God calls us to be faithful. And I hope you hear his message today. And don't get, you know, if anything that was distracting, don't let it distract you. Don't worry about that stuff. Listen to what the real message is. Is he saying, are you there for me? I've always been there for you. I have always been your God. I've been your Savior. I died for you. I love you. I love you beyond what you can ever imagine. And I'm not asking you to do and to do and to do. You don't need to do more. You don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to pass all these obstacles or these hurdles. You just need to be faithful. Just be faithful to me. Amen? Amen. I don't know if you got a song, but I'm going to pray. So God, I thank you for your word. And Jesus, today we celebrate not just your death, but your life. I thank you that you're always there for me. You're always there for us. That you never leave us and you never forsake us. Even when we're in sickness or when someone else has left us, you're still there. You're faithful. Thank you, God, that your love is an enduring and an unending love. We just worship you today. I pray that the power of your word and the power of your spirit would just penetrate our hearts. And that when you return, Jesus, that you will find us faithful. That we'll be there standing with the women. That we'll be there praising your name. We'll be there waiting. And that day's coming, Jesus. The day is coming very soon when you're going to return. Find us faithful. Just find us ready and with our arms open to receive you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a great God. You are my King and my Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, God. That's good. Let's come to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. Good word. Just come to the front. Let's bring this to Jesus. It's time. Amen. Yeah. Talking about healing. You can't hear him, but if you need healing today, it's time to come to Jesus. There'll be people who will pray. God's anointing is in this place. God's anointing is in this place. Thank you, God. Set us free, Lord. Amen. On that day when the strength is
Yes, that's a prayer today.
Oh, my soul.
Thank you, Lord. Receive God's parting blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. You need his peace? May God give you his peace today. Amen. God bless you. He loves you. Thank you, God.